As you see, it's a growing problem. I think the problems are out there, but we just haven't recognized it. Industry has recognized it. We have scanners in grocery stores because the grocery stores got tired of fixing people's hands from entering the prices. Local manufacturer in my hometown is Hillrom Hospital Beds, and they had a plethora of their drivers getting hernias, so they looked at the process. What were they doing on delivering the beds that got these folks to get hernias, and they changed it. Industries on this were not. So to talk about some of the other means of intervention, it's a pleasure to introduce Dr. Saravisi, the real Dr. Saravisi, who was brought here transportation-wise by the other Dr. Saravisi that most of you have met before. So it's a pleasure to introduce. We're going to talk about some of the things that you can do to prevent getting the injuries or to put yourself in a better position to do so. So if we can pull up, let's see if we can. Okay, here
we go. Good morning, everyone. I want to thank the college for asking me to come back again this year. Tremendous response from my lecture on physical therapy and surgical ergonomics. I just want to say I approach this a little bit different than the previously presented data because I'm coming at it as a point that people already have pain when they're doing surgery. I have no disclosures. So it's been really well defined in the last several speakers that this is a growing problem. This data is from a 2018 survey that was a meta-analysis that was in JAMA. And I just want to point out that in physical therapy, we associate neck, shoulder, and upper extremity pain with a condition that we term forward head posture. In this presentation, I'm going to discuss forward head posture. I'm going to discuss how we evaluate it. I'm going to hopefully provide some treatment and strategies for treating it. In addition, I'm going to also review evaluation and treatment suggestions for non-specific low back pain. And finally, finish the presentation with just a few ergonomic suggestions. While performing surgery, a surgeon may assume sustained or precarious positions, as we've seen in previous slides. These positions create muscle imbalances as well as place stress on non-contractile tissues, as you can see in this slide. The illustration on the left is a nice neutral posture, but then when we have that leaning forward, you can see how it affects all the muscles in the neck. Forward head posture can lead to, as I mentioned, muscle imbalances. We see cervical disc problems primarily at C5-6 and C6-7. We see tension headaches, and these occur because we see hyperextension at the upper cervical spine. One of the things I want to point out also with forward head posture, we start to notice that people have loss of cervical and thoracic mobility, and the primarily cervical rotation is affected. The neck is a class 1 lever system. And in this slide, you can see the illustration on the left is neutral posture. So the head weighs about 12 pounds. I think in surgeons, it's probably a little bit more because you guys are really smart. And then we can see as the head moves more and more forward, they estimate that for every inch forward, the head becomes 10 pounds more. So you can appreciate that the figure on the right has a lot more stress going through those tissues. This is a list of common symptoms that we see with forward head posture. And as previously mentioned, we see the cervical and scapular pain. But one of the things I wanted to just to point out is a lot of times people develop scapular pain, and it really is a precursor to cervical disc pathology. And a lot of people just don't recognize that, you know, 2 weeks, 2 months later, they start to have radicular pain. And I just like to point out that a lot of times medial scapular pain can be associated with disc pathology. So how does a physical therapist evaluate forward head posture? This is just a very short list of what we do in physical therapy. I tried to keep it very simple. But we start by assessing posture. We look at strength testing, and we also measure range of motion. And as I mentioned, with forward head posture, we usually see a decrease in cervical rotation. So when looking at someone's posture, you can see in this illustration, we look at where does the head sit in relationship to the shoulder. And as you can see on the illustration on the right again, as the head shifts forward, that the ear is no longer directly above the glenohumeral joint. But I think the biggest thing that we look at as a therapist is we try to assess weaknesses through muscle testing. And I'd just like to briefly review what we're looking for. One of the most important muscle groups that we look at are the deep cervical flexors. They perform a major postural function in supporting the cervical spine and reducing cervical lordosis in the mid and lower cervical spine. So this is a very important muscle to remember with forward head posture. Secondly, we look at serratus anterior. The importance of this muscle group is it is a scapular stabilizer. The next set of muscles that we would measure is looking at upper and lower traps. Typically, in evaluation, we find that the upper traps tend to be tight and shortened, and we have very, very poor recruitment in the lower trap fibers. It's the combination of upper and lower trap that really control scapular movement when we elevate our arms. Finally, we don't really look at the strength of pectoralis, but actually the length of pectoralis. We see often with forward head posture a shortening of this muscle group, as especially in surgeons, as you're bent forward working, the whole shoulder girdle is coming forward, and this tends to get shortened. It's not a strength issue, it's a length issue. So after looking at all of this information on forward head posture, you might wonder, do you have forward head posture? One of the ways you can assess this is just to sit in your car and see if you can get the back of your head on the headrest. And it's amazing how many of my clients come back and they can't. And it's just that they've lost that mobility. So this is a good way to look at to see if you might have forward head posture. Secondly, we look at what we call wall angel. And in this position, we have you stand against a wall. The spine is... next is actually on the wall, and then we ask people to raise their hands above their head. Typically, once we get the spine stabilized against the wall, you can see in one of my coworkers that the arms don't even come close to touching the wall because, again, they've lost that mobility. While performing surgery, you may not actually have neck or low back pain because of the intensity of what you do. You're focused, you have, especially if things aren't going well. And you may not notice your symptoms until after a case or at the end of the day. So I'm going to provide a few treatment suggestions. I do want to mention that have been studied, and from our clinical practice guidelines in physical therapy, I want to say that stretching has about grade C evidence. Strengthening is grade A, B evidence. And strengthening with the combination of manual therapy has stronger A evidence. So the first exercise I'd like to show you is what we call strengthening the deep cervical flexors. And this is just a simple motion of cranial cervical flexion. It's what we call a yes nod. And this recruits those small, deep cervical flexors. You can imagine having an orange between your chin and your chest, or simply doing a slight head nod of yes. This is a great exercise you can do on your way home from work and using your headrest in your car. They're very small muscles. It's a very low load exercise, so there's not a lot of strength involved. And when we do this particular exercise, we want to avoid recruiting the sternocleidomastoid, which is a larger strap muscle. General recommendations for this exercise is about 10 repetitions with a 10-second hold. Secondly, strengthening serratus anterior, as I mentioned, it's a big scapular stabilizer. And you can, if you belong to a gym or have weights at home, you can merely lie on your back and perform shoulder protraction and retraction motions. If you don't have that available, simply doing a wall push-up will recruit serratus anterior. And finally, with regards to exercises, this is probably one of my favorite exercises. It's to recruit the lower trap fibers. And we refer to this as a W or a robbery type exercise. And you can see where the little red arrows are. And that's indicating what we're trying to do is really re-educate the lower trap to fire and to quiet the upper trap. Merely what I recommend doing on this one, you can do this with resistance, you can do it with a resistance band, but you're really focusing on adducting your scapula and creating space between your ear and your shoulder. Finally, with looking at pectoralis, we recommend doing a stretch. You can use a door frame. This can be done unilaterally or bilaterally. And with stretching, the guidelines are usually 20 to 30 seconds. If you're over 50, we recommend 30 seconds. It just takes the tissue a little bit longer to stretch. So in looking at forward head posture, you can see this cross pattern. And the deep cervical flexors, the lower trap serratus, tend to be weakened, whereas you see the upper trap, levator scapula, and pectoralis tends to be tight. So what we're really trying to do is to strengthen the weaker muscle groups and to lengthen the tight muscle groups. This combination of trying to strengthen and lengthen helps to achieve improved muscle balance. Another adjunctive therapy I really like is the foam roller. I don't know if anyone has ever had an opportunity to use this, but if you remember with forward head posture back into that one of the first slides, we see an increased thoracic kyphosis, and this really helps to try to get more thoracic extension. Something like, I know my husband does this after long cases, to just try to get that thoracic extension. So looking forward, we are one kinetic chain. And I included this slide because you can see the illustration on the left shows what normal good posture would be. And once we start seeing the forward head posture, it increases our thoracic kyphosis. We see increased lumbar lordosis, which is where we're going to move into talking about low back pain. And with that lordosis, we start to see an anterior pelvic tilt of the hips. So low back pain is a lot like abdominal pain that can come from many different sources. Today I'm just going to basically go over what I term non-specific low back pain, which is usually what most people have. As with forward head posture, it's common that we see, again, that same pattern of weakness and tightness. With evaluating low back pain, we are, again, going to look at our subject in a standing posture. Do they have excessive lumbar lordosis? Do they stand with their knees hyperextended? Do we also see contributory forward head posture? We want to evaluate trunk and gluteal strength, as well as endurance. And similar to the deep cervical flexors, we find that transverse abdominis is more of an endurance issue for working correctly and providing support. So looking at the muscles, transverse abdominis is the deepest lateral abdominal muscle. When we evaluate this, we really try to see if people can actually volitionally contract the muscle, and we also try to figure out how long can they hold that contraction for. Secondly, we look at the strength of gluteus medius. Gluteus medius, in combination with gluteus minimus, is a huge pelvic stabilizer for walking and standing. Together, they prevent the hip from dropping, So in the one slide, if you remember, in Phil's presentation, you saw the hips were what I would call cattywampus. A lot of that can be contributed to gluteus medius weakness. Finally, we look at, do they have shortened hip flexors? Again, this is a deep muscle of the back. And finally, erector spinae and quadratus lumborum often are very tight and contributory to low back pain. In fact, I would say, I don't know what that just did. I would say I didn't know I had an update available. Okay. Thank you. But I often find in people with nonspecific low back pain, they have trigger points in quadratus lumborum that actually mimic sciatic pain. And it's often very tight. And this muscle group, going back to anatomy, it's basically a lateral trunk. It's an extensor and it's a lateral trunk flexor. So those two combination often get very tight. So how do we go about treating low back pain? And again, these are recommendations for nonspecific low back pain. One of the best exercises we can do is strengthening transverse abdominis. These are just two illustrations. There are so many things out there. There's prone and side planking. And the nice thing about these exercises is, you know, there's probably people who exercise daily and people who aren't really exercising much, but these all can be modified to meet whatever your needs are. For instance, with prone planking, if someone really has difficulty recruiting transverse abdominis, we can start them in a kneeling position. With side planking, same thing. We just start them with bent knees, and we, with this particular exercise, we're really trying to increase the endurance of these muscles. And so starting out with a very low count of, say, 5 seconds. I have some clients who are 3 to 5 seconds, and working up to 10 to 15 seconds. As the length of your ability to hold this position increases, you decrease the repetitions. But this is a very good exercise to start working on core strengthening. Secondly, one of the best studied muscles is gluteus medius, because it is usually found weak in all of my low back pain patients. Doing the clamshell, which is the exercise on the left, has been studied as one of the best exercises you can do to isolate and strengthen this muscle. Again, when performing this, it's contracting your abdominal wall as you lift, and it's not how high can you lift your knee, but it's really how high can you lift your knee without rotating your pelvis. And you can find these exercises on YouTube, and they can usually walk you through and explain all the different variations that you can do. But again, you can do this with a band, without a band. And for gluteus maximus, bridging is a great exercise to do, not just for strengthening gluteus maximus, but also extending the lower spine. So stretching hip flexors, I prefer this as my preferred way to do this exercise. And you can see the nice illustration. A lot of people think that stretching hip flexors is the old runner stretch. But actually, if you can maintain an erect spine, think about tucking your tail under as you come forward. It lengthens your iliopsoas. Again, with the stretches, you want to hold these for 20 to 30 seconds. And just some general ideas for stretching the low back. You can do knee to chest. You can do double knee to chest. That is, I think that's a very safe exercise for anyone to do. If you really feel, if you don't have any radiating pain into your buttocks or legs, doing a child's pose is a very effective stretch for doing quadratus lumborum and your erector spinae. Again, 30-second holds on these. So just to finish up, I have Mark take a couple pictures for me in the OR. And one of the things, when I actually talk to our hospital person who deals with ergonomics, they recommend that you really don't flex your arm any further than when you have a normal gait, and I think that's probably 10 to 20 degrees. So you can see the individual on the left, I'm not sure how long you could hold that position. It's an endurance issue. It's not a weight issue. And going back to looking at shoulder strengthening, we want to focus on not heavy weights, but rather endurance, because holding these positions, it's not if you could do 10 or 20 pounds, but rather being able to sustain that position without fatigue. So you can see the surgeon on the right is going to be able to hold that position much longer than the person on the left. Next, there is a slide with the step stool, and I am a huge advocate of hip hinging, and that basically translates to when you bend forward, the motion comes from your hip joint, not your lumbar spine. This, you can probably see the foot is on the stool, and when you lower your body, you're more like sitting in a chair than you are bending forward from your lumbar spine. And this merely shifting your hips backwards gets that trunk flexion from your hip joint, not your low back joint, and saves wear and tear on discs. And finally, if you can perform trunk extension periodically throughout your surgery. In this position, you can maintain your hands in a sterile field, but being able just to take a break and bend backwards 10 to 20 times just to reverse the curve. I have a friend who's a heart perfusionist, and at one of the hospitals she covers, she is told every 25 minutes, she says, stretch. And everyone on that team stretches. So those are just some other strategies to think about in the OR. Also, it's important just to remember basic things like hydration, eating, and breathing. A lot of times when we get stressed, we tend to not think about breathing. And that can also make for some uncomfortable postures. So finally, I've introduced to you what forward head posture is, how a physical therapist would evaluate it, some treatment ideas and suggestions. Also, we've looked at briefly some evaluation and treatment ideas for non-specific low back pain. Posture is important in maintaining a healthy spine, not just for our work, but also our life away from work. And I think that's a really important thing to remember. If you suffer from neck, shoulder, or low back pain, you may benefit from an evaluation by a skilled physical therapist. Thank you.